119, verse 73 to 80. Let us pray again. Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us once more to this place. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to read the only infallible, inerrant, inspired, and sufficient word of yours, your Bible, your word, your book. Thank you also, Lord, for being here with us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we ask in the name of Christ once more that your Holy Spirit may do as the psalmist also prays in Psalm 119. Open our eyes, O Lord, that you may see the wonders of your word. And also, Lord, of your work in this world through your people for your glory. We ask you also, Lord, once more in the name of Christ, that your Holy Spirit may open our minds, as Jesus did with his disciples in Luke 24, when he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. But we ask you also, Lord, once more in the name of Christ, that your Holy Spirit may open our hearts, that your word may be understood, may be believed, may be trusted, and may also, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, that your word may be treasured in our hearts, so that we may joyfully obey it, joyfully learn it, joyfully experience it, and joyfully share, Lord, with those who are already yours for their edification, and with those who do not know you yet for their salvation, and all for your glory and our joy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you keep your Bibles in Psalm 119, and all of you know that this Psalm 119 is a mixture always of prayer and of meditation. And I always, many times, told the people in Brazil, if you want to learn how to pray and what to pray for, study seriously Psalm 119. And if you want to do a very good exegetical work, just get some expression and look in the context of the 176th verse of Psalm 119. It's amazing how many times the psalmist answers the question that you have in some part of the psalm, because there's so many repetition, different ways here. Someone called this psalm the David's pocket book. I love it. It's a big book to be a pocket book, but anyway. Charles Spurgeon called it the royal diary, written at various times throughout a long life. Now, we go today just to comment some things on Psalm 119, verse 73 to 80. And every time I look at Psalm 119, I have to remind myself of all the two other psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 19. And that deals with also specifically and very much with the special revelation of God. Psalm 1, Psalm 19, then you remember Psalm 119. I hope you'll never forget that. 119. Yeah, that's a good way for you to remember those psalms. But today, let us just go through that psalm. Verse 73. The psalmist says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understand that I may learn your commandments. Now, pay attention to this statement, the first statement. Because the psalmist here is making an awesome confession to his creator. He's a very strong creationist. And he's really saying, your hands have made and fashioned me. In other words, what an argument that he's using here as a base for the next request, which was his petition. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And you know that doubtless he's referring to Genesis 1 and 2. It's amazing when you go through these scriptures and everything comes together. And you can trace it. And of course, I have no doubt that he's referring to Genesis 1 and 2. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind here that the psalm is not itself impressed with him. He really is impressed with the Creator, not with the creature. And when you read that first statement, your hands have made me and fashioned me, of course, the first thing that came to my mind when I was reading that was Psalm 139. And listen to this, you don't need to go there. But pay attention, when the psalmist there describes God's creation, how the Lord made him and fashioned him. Listen to the words, because you see, he's really impressed, not with himself. He's first and foremost impressed with the Creator. I think we look too much to ourselves. And that's why we have so many people with low self-esteem. If you keep looking at yourself, you'll have low self-esteem. Look at the Creator. And listen how he puts in Psalm 139:13. Listen to this. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am, listen, this is a passive mood, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You cannot keep low self-esteem with those truths. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And then he says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. God made, it's amazing. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. It's not that amazing? He's telling us that God made each one of us individually, personally, and fashioned each one of us individually, personally. You see, when you look at that, I know, for example, I am now getting after my 50s. And I remember when I was still young, sometimes I look at myself, I see myself as a handsome guy. I'm not like some of you that thinks I'm ugly. But you see, you look at, and sometimes I was wondering, Lord, it's not amazing that the Lord is going to give me a wife who loves me the way I am and the way I look? And it's unbelievable, but it's true. And what a wife the Lord gave me. Now, when I read that, God didn't simply say, let it be you. No, the Bible does not say that. But he crafted us with his hand. Warren Willsby has written several commentaries, and probably you have seen some of them. Be courageous, be. And he said, I was reading his autobiography, he said that for a long time people was asking him to write an autobiography, and he didn't know how to put it. Then he put the title, Be Myself. Because sometimes we wish we could be somebody else. Even the way you look, the Bible says, has been fashioned by him. Maybe you don't look You don't like the way you have been made, but you cannot help. But He has made you in His image and for His glory. Wow. It really impresses me every time I look at that. And when you begin to look from God's perspective, life makes a tremendous difference. I was at ETS meeting some years ago, and I was listening, hearing John MacArthur speaking about pastoral ministry. Because I know how it goes. You know, how you want to dress well, look well, shaved well. And he was speaking about pastoral ministry, and he quoted Paul from 2 Corinthians 10:10, when Paul is talking about how some Corinthians look at him, and he said, his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. And John MacArthur said, if you are not a good speaker but you are handsome, you can go a long way. Or if you are not handsome but you are a good speaker, people can tolerate you. But if you are accused of being ugly and not a winsome speaker, which is the case of Paul, that's a terrible situation. But what amazes me here is that the psalmist is calling attention not to how we look, but how God made us for His own glory and according to His own purpose. Now, He used it as a base for a request. In other words, that's the second part. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. In other words, the psalmist used this argument in order to support his prayer for understanding. He's reasoning this way: Lord, you are the only one who can give me understanding so that I may learn, which implies obedience and knowledge and obedience, your commandments. You made me. His commandments to be learned. In other words, he really is telling God, he's telling us that Lord, the Lord not only has the personal care, we not only have the personal care and touch of God, but he's also telling us, if you're going to learn anything from God, it does not depend on your looks. You have to go back to him. You know, you look at that, because I know that we'll be tempted every time. The psalmist does not reason, I think, therefore I am. He reasons backwards. I'm created, therefore I can think. Lord, please. Sometimes like reading Hebrew, backwards. And by the way, that's the prayer of the scriptures. The scriptures is filled with backward statements. I'm always impressed. You die in order to live. You lose in order to gain. You deny in order to receive. You humble in order to be exalted. You serve in order to be a master. You give in order to receive. And you submit yourself to God in order to understand life and to learn from Him. In other words, look at life from God's perspective is awesome. But in reality, seems upside down. You think, I got a doctorate degree. I got it. I have that knowledge. I can understand everything. And the Bible said, no, you missed the point. You are not the one standing up. God is. We see life when we bow down. I think last week I was discussing over the phone with an American scientist, and we're talking about Genesis 1 and 2, and he said, is God confusing me? And I almost told him, no, you are messed up. Because the Bible says, the fear of the Lord, of the covenant of God, is the beginning of knowledge, of real learning, and full despised wisdom and instruction. The psalmist understanding, the natural man cannot learn the things of the Spirit without the Spirit. Neither began to understand, because sometimes we think, the Bible says we have been born again by the Word. And we think that now that we have been born again, we can live without the Word, only with our knowledge. And our academic acumen. And the Bible says, not so. Thank you very much for the back, for the feedback. But the Bible is very clear. Even we as servants cannot learn His will and His word without His direct assistance. Brothers and sisters, to know is great. But I hope and pray that when you leave this institution, you'll never rely on your academic acumen. They are important. But they have to be submitted to the scrutiny of His word and His will. May your daily prayer be, Lord, like Samuel. As a boy's prayer. But remember, he's a boy. Was a prophet. And we may say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Never say, hey, you speak for yourself that already knows. His Lord, we are servants. He speaks, we learn to hear. And you never hear him. You will obey his command. What a day! What a day! When those whom the Lord has given the word learned to hear and see the one who hears them. That's what ministry is all about. Then the psalmist says, Lord, you have fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And you know that implies you already knowledge and obedience. You cannot learn God's commandment without obeying it. And then he says, and I'm going to finish because I know we have coffee. Verse 74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Of course, those who gain understanding and learn from the Lord will be a blessing for others. That's what he's saying here. Do you get it? Our learning from the Lord is never self-centered. Is always for God's glory, for the edification of His people, the salvation of the lost. Now I wish you could go, by the way, Bruce Ott, I think on his commentary on the Proverbs, has a very good part. I have the tape, one of his tapes, when he goes and gives an exposition of the difference between the expression or the phrase in the Bible, fear of God, of the covenantal God, of the Lord, the covenantal God, and fear of God. Fear of the Lord and the fear of God in the context of the whole Old Testament. I wish we could go there. But you can take a time and study that. Because the Bible says, who are those who fear the Lord? Listen, verse 79. 79 says, let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. The Lord give us understanding and make us to learn His commands so that we may become a blessing for others. And why are those who fear the Lord glad to see you? Because they know you have hoped in His word, on the Lord's word. It's not because of what you have gained throughout life. Your glory, the Bible says, will be like the flower. It's good. It can smell good. It can look good. But it will wither. But the word of the Lord remains forever. They know you have hoped in His word. And you know when the Bible talks about hoping in His word, it's not I hope for. It's someone who has trustfully waiting and experiencing God's truth. Do your hearers know that you know, in the biblical sense, the Lord, His right judgment and His faithfulness in times of affliction? Oh, I wish to go. Well, you can read the rest of the text. And you can continue your own exposition of it. But let me finish with this question. What does this passage have to do with making the Lord known, or what have to do with mission? And I'm not even going to give you the answer. I'm going to quote from Calvin. It's amazing. If you look Calvin's sermons on Psalm 119, At the end of every block, he brings this worldwide statement. And he ends that part of Psalm 119 with these words. Because this psalm is telling us about our intimacy with the Lord and about those who will hear and learn from the Lord through us. And Calvin says, "Let us in all humility prostrate ourselves before the majesty of our good God. He made us. That we submit ourselves wholly unto His holy will, desiring nothing else but to have Him to govern us, to the end that being fortified by His Holy Spirit, we might persevere unto the end to resist those temptations which shall grieve us, to obtain the victory above said, and come to the triumph which is prepared for us in heaven above." And then, St. Calvin says, that He will not only grant us this grace, but also unto all people and nations of the earth. Dear Lord, thank You for Your word. You have made us and fashioned us. Let us learn how to rejoice, Lord, in it. But help us, Lord, to understand. Give us understanding that we may learn Your commandments. May those who fear You, Lord, nearby or far away from us, will be glad when they see us. Not because we are handsome, not because we have so much knowledge, but because we have hoped in Your word. We have lived by the promises that You have made. We know, O Lord, that Your judgments are right, and in faithfulness You have afflicted us. Let us pray, Lord, for Your merciful kindness, so that it may be our comfort, according to Your word to us. Let Your tender mercies come to us, that we may live, for Your law is, and make it, Lord, be our delight. Let anyone who is proud be ashamed, for they treated us wrongfully with falsehood. But help us, Lord, to meditate on Your precepts. And let those who fear You turn to us, and those who know Your testimonies. Let our hearts be blameless regarding Your statutes, that we may not be ashamed. Always for Your glory, always for the edification of the people, the salvation of the lost. And may the grace and the power and the comfort and the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each one of us. As we leave this place, instead of looking at the mirror, help us, Lord, to look at Your word and rejoice and depend on You today and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You are dismissed.